In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. It's a beautiful, wonderful feast. It allows us to fulfill that promise of the resurrection. Because after the resurrection, the apostles still were afraid. They weren't ready yet. They needed the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, the day of the giving of the law in the Jewish tradition, so that the law could be fulfilled by you and me. Not in an external way. Nothing in Christianity is external. Those who do not understand the Orthodox Church think that we're full of externals. There's not one external thing, not one. Everything is internal. Our God is internal. Huh? Isn't that true? Our God lives within us, correct? The Holy Spirit abides in us. Nothing is from without. Everything is from within. All change is from within, from the Holy Spirit enlivening us and teaching us and perfecting us. And everything we do should be spiritual. There should be nothing you do that's not spiritual. Everything must be spiritually appraised and must be measured against the Holy Spirit and against our Lord Jesus Christ. And if it does not measure up, it should be discarded. Now, in most of the feasts of the year, the main reading would be for the gospel, because the gospel would say something about that feast. Well, the gospel says nothing about the giving, the actual event of the giving of the Holy Spirit, because that happened 50 days after Pascha, and the gospels end with 40 days after Pascha. And so the main reading would be from the Acts. But I would say to you that the even more important readings are those of the Old Testament. Now, if you're not sure about the Old Testament, if it's kind of a big book to you and a dark book to you, difficult book to you, then I would advise you to do this. Read what the church reads in services and maybe a few things around that. Now, you should definitely read Genesis and Isaiah in their entirety, Job in its entirety, which is Jonah, Ruth, some other things in their entirety. But otherwise, read what the church says is important. And then you'll really start to understand the Old Testament. The Old Testament points to the New. And in the case of these readings that are parables from last night, from the Vespers, they actually describe what the Holy Spirit does better than the two readings of the feast, than the Gospel and then the Acts. The Acts is basically the event. The gospel is basically the promise of the event. And then the readings last night really show us, if you look at them with a spiritual eye, what happens when the Holy Spirit fills a man. So I want to go over those readings a little bit. They're really profoundly beautiful. I'll save the best for last. I'll tell you just a personal kind of anecdote, if I can call it that. When I was young, you know, in college, I was looking for meaning in life. And eventually, by God's grace, I found the Orthodox Church. And before then, I had sort of a short sojourn in Protestantism, you know, kind of saying, okay, Jesus Christ saved me because I believe in him. I've asked him into my heart. But I was a young man. I didn't have full peace in my heart. I still had things that I couldn't do. Things that I shouldn't do, things that I should start doing that I wasn't doing. And you know what it's like to be young. It's hard. You have all this energy, and yet the energy isn't always used to good purpose. And I felt this sort of tumult in my soul. And I didn't understand until I became Orthodox what the real purpose of my life was. Perfection. Peace. Absolute tranquility, absolute perfect freedom to always choose freely and to always be able to choose freely that which is good without difficulty and without effort, just easily. That's what we're bound to. That's what we are predestined to. And the Holy Spirit makes this possible. Of course, you can't say that anything particularly is more important than the other. Can't say the Father is more important than the Son, nor the Spirit. They are equal. You cannot say that the nativity of Christ is the greatest feast, nor the resurrection of Christ, nor the ascension, nor Pentecost. All of it's important. Everything's important. And through all these things, becoming inculcated in our soul, being really sort of changing our soul, then we have this marvelous peace and we have a heart of flesh. We'll talk about that at the very end. That's one of my favorite quotes from all of Scripture, is to have a heart of flesh. That's what this feast is promising you, to have a heart of flesh, a soft heart, a good heart, a heart that understands things, a heart that feels things fully. And not only feels things fully, but is able to deal with that feeling. How many of us sometimes feel something that's just too heavy, too hard? So what do? We turn it off, right? We turn it off either by indifference or by not noticing or by distraction or by maybe something that's not even good for us. We turn it off because the feelings are too difficult, too hard. We all go through hard stuff, all of us. Have you ever been driving on the highway and you see cars passing by and you think, every person in that car, everyone passing me, every one of those people is in a crisis? Have you ever thought that? Huh? I think that all the time. Or you're at a swimming pool or you're at a park and people are playing and people are having fun and fishing or whatever. And yet, every single one of those persons has a terrible burden, terrible difficulty because of their family or their friends or themselves or just everything. We all have burdens. And the whole point of our life is that we will be eventually without burden, completely, totally free. And the Holy Spirit allows this. And I think really the beginning of this is to have a heart that's soft, a heart that really feels as Jesus Christ's heart felt on this earth. We are to try to be like him and to have his heart, a heart of flesh. So let me begin with the first parable, Numbers, and just read a couple portions of it. So it says, I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee and put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, and thou shalt not bear it thyself alone. And then what happened was, Eldad and Modad were part of those who had been given the Spirit to prophecy, part of the tribes, and they weren't in the tabernacle. They were prophesying in the camp. Somebody ran after Moses and said, Moses forbid, you know, they're doing this. And then Joshua thought he was doing everybody a favor by telling Moses, forbid them, my Lord Moses. And what did Moses say about these men that were prophesying in that not official place? He said, would it be to God that all of the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them? This is a prophecy of the coming of the Holy Spirit, because in the Old Testament times, Moses had the Holy Spirit and a few chosen men had the Holy Spirit, and occasionally kings had the Holy Spirit and prophets had the Holy Spirit, and occasionally a few others. But the Holy Spirit was not generally given internally to everyone. But now in our time, the Holy Spirit is given to all. Those who are baptized, and then we cultivate a life with the Holy Spirit within us. And this is how it should be. And this saying that the Lord said to Moses that he would give of the Spirit that was on Moses, the Holy Spirit, to others so that he would not bear it alone. I don't know about you, I'm often very lonely. Not lonely because I don't have people around me, but lonely because there's just terrible stuff going on. And I'd like to be able to help people. And I sometimes people don't understand, right? And that's a lonely feeling. I don't have the strength to deal with it, but God does. So this means a lot to me. When the Lord says to Moses, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you to bear this alone. He's saying this to you and me. You're not bearing anything alone. The Holy Spirit's within you, so you're not alone. Remember that. during lonely times. That the Holy Spirit is always within you. Now, that doesn't make things easy. Things are still hard. But with the Holy Spirit in you, you can accomplish. The end is predetermined. I don't mean in some sort of strange Calvinistic way. I mean that if you have the Holy Spirit within you, you're more than a conqueror. That indeed you will be victorious. You'll have down times, you'll have difficult times, there'll be things too big for you. But you will prevail because the Holy Spirit will be your strength. And the prophecy of Joel is the second reading. And he says, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, and the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." Of course, he's describing that there were these plagues and everything, and that the people would come into a time of plenty. But it's really speaking about the coming of the Holy Spirit and about all that stuff that gets destroyed being reinvigorated, brought to life again. All that stuff that the locust has eaten and other sins and other passions have taken away from your soul, all that can be restored. Because the Spirit of God will be poured out upon you. And then he speaks about daughters prophesying and old men dreaming dreams and young men seeing visions. I think this is an indication that we won't be in the mundane. In the next life, everything will be beautiful and perfect. No longer hard, no longer ugly. It'll just be beautiful, and we'll be free. It's talking about this perfect freedom and this perfect knowledge of God that the Holy Spirit brings to us. The last reading is Ezekiel, and this is the one that always gives me pause. And I talked about it a little bit already because I really can't help myself to talk about this reading or contents of it. I think I probably had 500 sermons that have somehow spoken about this idea of the heart becoming flesh. Not in so many words, but basically, what are we doing in this life? We're learning to become human, aren't we? We're not human yet. I've told you that many times. We're not really human yet. Jesus Christ is the example of the true human being. We're becoming human. We're becoming where we have goodness in us. And we don't have any ugliness in us, no darkness in us, where we have a softness in us and a sweetness to us. This is happening in us, slowly. A little too slowly for my taste sometimes. Basically all the time it's too slow. But it's happening. So, in this reading, the Lord promises through Isaiah, "I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean." One of the symbols of the Holy Spirit is the water, because water cleans, and water gives life. "And you will be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, and I will cleanse you. A new heart I will also give you, and a new spirit will I put in within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit upon you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." Some would interpret these words in a very legalistic way. The Lord was telling them to fulfill the law, etc. There's nothing legalistic about these words. Something beautiful about these words. We were born for perfection, and the Lord is saying that he will put his spirit upon us, he will cleanse us of all impurities. He will take our heart with stony and flinty and cold and dark and make it soft of flesh and alive and light. That's a beautiful thing. That's worth fighting for. That's worth working for. If we really have a soft heart, then we truly are like true human beings, where we feel people's needs and we can just be present in with a person and help them by their just by being who we are. That should happen for all of us. I don't think it happens often enough. That just being who we are can give someone comfort, because they think, he kind of has it figured out, and I want something that he has. So, do you think you have a stony heart? I'll tell you what, if you don't think anything in your heart is stony, then I'm sorry, you can't be helped. If you think you have a stony heart, then God will indeed give you a heart of flesh. If you think that your heart is sometimes cold, then indeed God will make your heart warm. If you think that sometimes there is darkness in you, then indeed God will make it so that there's only light. But if you don't think any of those things are a problem for you, then you'll never be changed. That is the beauty of Orthodox Christianity. When I came to Orthodox Christianity, I sort of had the teaching beforehand. Kind of like, okay, you're saved. That's about it. We really didn't talk about our troubles much. We didn't talk about the deep problems in our heart very much. We were saved. We were going to be saved. Let's go out and get other people saved. Let's go to the student union and let's try to talk to somebody and get them to read the four spiritual laws. And then they're going to be okay. Despite the fact that I didn't feel okay at all. But I was supposed to make people okay by just, you know, a formula. I hate formulas. I hate formalism. Just can't stand it. I only like things that are internal and that are of the heart. That's why this feast is so beautiful to me, because I want my heart to be completely flesh. Do you want your heart to be flesh completely? No more stoniness? No more hardness? Do you want to be able to feel everything as it really is? Not as you think it is. Not with any delusional thoughts, not with adding some of your own stuff to it, but would you like to be able to know things as they are and react to things as they are and have the strength to deal with things as they are? Wouldn't you like that? That's what Jesus did. He knew everything as it exactly was, because his heart was not stone. It was completely soft. It was a completely human, soft, fleshly heart. Not fleshly in the sense of sin, of course. Fleshly in the case of being a perfect human being. That's what we're promised. That's what Pentecost promises. Now, what I try to do oftentimes in sermons is try to give you something practical. And I really think that's important. Things I've noticed many times when I've read other sermons or heard other sermons, they speak of things, but not really then, what do you do about it? So most of the time I try to give you practical things and I tell you practical things to do. But I tell you, I've already told you the most practical thing. And that is to know that you are destined to become perfect. And that you can have a heart that becomes completely flesh and soft and warm and good. And if you know this, by everything you do, everything you are, then indeed, you'll find your way. You'll find your way through every problem. So my practical advice to you today is to cultivate this knowledge. And I could tell you other things you should do, and you've heard me say it many, many times. But I'll refrain from that today, because I want you to draw your own conclusions about what you need to be doing. But I want you to feel such joy that God can indeed take this hardness that is in our heart and make it soft and good. That's what Pentecost is promising, with the Holy Spirit abiding in the heart, speaking to us in words that cannot be uttered, groanings that cannot be understood by any language, but can be understood by the heart. That's the promise of Pentecost. God bless you and help you in all things.